excavée, elle vient du Japon. I don't know what you need to share, but I'm just going to receive what you have from the Lord. There's a mic just there.
It's funny because just a few weeks ago, God put Psalm 65 on my heart too, and I haven't talked about this, but particularly verse 8, so that those who dwell at the ends of the earth are in awe of your signs. You make the going out of the morning and the evening to shout for joy. And that verse I've been meditating on, and I think not in the context of family life, I think there's been a few of us, like there's been a lot of families, like you feel like you're going through a bit of a hurricane, you know, like in terms of getting out the door with young kids and all that sort of stuff. And I said this to Mel, and she's like, "You're standing on this?" I'm like, "Yeah, I am standing." But I think he's someone that, you know, the verse before, he stills the roaring of the seas, the roaring of the waves, the tumult of the peoples, and he's the God who, when there's chaos, he brings stillness and peace out of that. He makes something more than just getting by. He makes the fullness of joy spring forth. And so we just release, Father, and we believe in your word that that you make the going out of the morning and the evening to shout for joy, that we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. So we just bless your name that when we come with all our all the messiness, all the bits and pieces, the minestrone of life, you can just make so much beauty coming out of that and so much shouting for joy. So we just rejoice that we are the people. Just form us and fashion us into the people that you want us to be.
Just going to pray. We actually forgot to pray and ask for an offering for the first service because we were just a bit caught up. But Holy Spirit, you honor everything. And so we thank you for your heart, God, for your people as they give and as they serve and as they sow. We thank you that everything that will come into this barn house would be released for your kingdom, Lord. We pray, Holy Spirit, as the spirit of generosity is released among your people, that not only would they have much in their own life to be able to release out, but we pray, Lord, on the inside of who they are, that you would really, really move, Holy Spirit. I pray for a tenderness, Lord, even as we give of time and energy and finance, we pray that we would have a tenderness in that area, that out of that place abundance would burst forth. And so we thank you for partnering this renewal, and we thank you for the spirit of generosity. May every person, Lord, who is able to, may they continue to have their own barn houses filled with abundance, Lord. We thank you for the blessing of being able to be a blessing to others in the mighty name of Yeshua. If you'd like to give, thank you so much for that. Amen. That's great. Praise God. I'm not sure what to do, so I'm just hanging out here for a moment. We'll do some announcements. Everything's on like usual. Amen. If you want to connect in, find someone to connect in with, that'd be awesome. Friday praise is this Friday night, feel free to come on Fridays and just soak and pray and really have a sense that people can come and they can release a word, or they can speak the blessing of God over people. So thank you for that. That'd be awesome. I'm just going to move this down. So today I want to speak, in this service, I want to bring us to an understanding of the oil of his presence, the communion of God, but really I want to focus on union. And so Psalm 65, about 3 months ago, I wrote four teachings on Psalm 65, but I haven't had a chance to speak on any of them, so I'm going to unpack probably a quarter of one time today, in the time we have left. I really want us to have an understanding about what God does in terms of his divine protection over us. So there's some language in here, Hebraically, where we're going to start to know about some pictures about what God does to fortify us. And I pray that the Holy Spirit would enable us today to realize that we don't have to protect ourselves because God is always protecting us. And some of us have been taught in life from experience and from our past, even sometimes our present, that the best thing we can do is protect ourselves from everything and everyone. But Psalm 65 gives us an opportunity to understand how God himself protects us and puts things around us. He actually builds things around us to destroy everything that comes against his namesake. And so we're going to go on a little bit of a journey today in Psalm 65. Union, the oil of his presence, is something that the Holy Spirit was speaking to me about, but I just want to start to unpack this. I don't believe that I'm going to be able to get through a lot because there is so much. So please have grace as I try and unpack some new language and also some new understanding around the Word of God. I'm just so thankful to Jesus for giving us the Word of God. That's so awesome. I'm so happy for that. I want to pose a question to you this morning. This afternoon. And that is, maybe the treasure in the field is ultimately you being able to lie down in green pasture. Maybe the treasure in the field that Jesus talked about, the kingdom of God is like a man who found treasure in the field, and in his exceedingly abundant joy, he went and sold everything and went back and bought the field. Maybe part of that treasure is you being able to lie down in green pastures. In Psalm 23, it says he makes us lie down, which means that we have an inability to lie down by ourselves. And in that inability, maybe part of the treasure is trusting him enough that when he wants us to lie down in green pasture, he has our best intention. And maybe our mindset is that if I lie down in green pastures, I'm not going to be able to do anything. But maybe the treasure in the field is realizing that as we lie down in green pastures, we get to do way more than we could without lying down in green pastures, if that makes sense. And so I want to take us on a bit of a journey through this beautiful psalm. If you don't know what the psalms are, a quick recap on the psalms, 1 to 150, like the greatest hits of David's reign. So David reigned for 33 years. He was the king that unified the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. And we have all the tribes of Israel come back together. We have this this man from the tribe of Judah who is appointed as this king. And the Psalms are 150 prophetic expressions about what God was saying through those 33 years. And if you don't know this already, every single moment from the 33-year reign, when it started to when it finished, not one enemy was able to come against and be successful against Israel. If you look at every other king, there were kings that they were good and they had some wins, but David was the one that in his reign, he actually, no one who came against the kingdom was successful in those 33 years. Incredible. David himself, he instigated a shift in what we would call worship or prayer. He employed people to thank God all day. Imagine your job, right? Was you get up and all you did all day was thank him. And you were employed to thank him. And so we had singers, musicians, 24 hours around the clock. There was worship and prayer, intercession and prophecy going out over the kingdom. Incredible. Just amazing. And so it's an archetype of what the church can look like in the fullness of Christ. And so we have throughout the Old Covenant, we have all these little pieces of what it can look like when the kingdom comes on earth and what it looks like to be living as a kingdom people. And so Psalm 65 is this beautiful preparatory psalm about what God is doing to actually ensure that his people can access the fullness of what he has for them. And so we're going to read through a few verses. It's cool that Adam started in... where did you start? Hey, good, because I'm preaching from 9 through to 13. He didn't know that, so that's really funny. So I'm going to speak from 9 through to 13 now, and then we're going to jump into this together. So verse 9 says, "You visit the earth, and you cause it to overflow. You greatly enrich it. The stream of God is full of water. You prepare their grain, for thus you prepare the earth." Verse 10, "You water its furrows abundantly. You settle its ridges. You soften it with showers. You bless its growth." Verse 11, you can highlight this. This is where we're going to camp today, I believe, in verse 11. "You have crowned the year with your bounty, and your paths drip with fatness." I'm reading from the original translation. Verse 12, "The pastures of the wilderness drip, and the hills gird themselves with rejoicing." Whoa, wait till we get to that word, rejoicing. Oh. "The meadows are clothed with flocks, and the valleys are covered with grain. They shout for joy, yes, they sing." And so, just a little bit of a pause moment for us. In the Psalms, they would say Selah or Selah, and they can't really figure out. Some theologians say it's this, some say it's that. And one of the things we have to understand about God is unusual, number one, and he doesn't fit into the patterns we have all the time. But when one of the frames around Selah in the Psalms is that the prophetic word would come, and then the Selah was a silence between the movements of the prophetic. And then all of a sudden something else will happen and they'd go back into something else. And so you see in the Psalms, you see a flow of the Spirit. You see an ebb and a flow. We know the wind, if we are going to be a pneumatic people, and pneumatic or pneumatology is a study of the Holy Spirit. Cosmology is a study of the cosmos. Christology is a study of Christ. So we have these ologies. But when we talk about pneumatology, we're talking about something that's pneumatic or wind-driven. And so if you look outside now, there's a little bit of a breeze, and that can change not based on anything that is happening except for where the wind wants to go, because the wind's always going somewhere. Have you thought about that? Jesus said it like this, that those who are born of the Spirit, they're blown like the wind. No one knows where they're coming from or where they're going. Does that mean that people that are in the Spirit are confused? No. It just means that God is moving how he wants to, and we get to get caught in that flow. Get to caught in that flow. If you would like a second marker in your Bible, if you want to go to the story of Jericho, I didn't know that Matt was going to sing that song either. That was fun. And so I want the story of Jericho, if you can have it open as well, because there are some parallels here that I need to teach you today about how God protects us. And I pray that not only would we receive this today together, but we would actually then replicate it and help other people understand how protected they are by the presence of Almighty God. In my travels around life, I have really been blessed by the Orthodox faith, and I've been blessed by the incarnational traditions that have a really great understanding of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And so Western theology has a great understanding of God, and a great understanding of Jesus, and a great understanding of the Spirit, but they're normally separate. Whereas you wouldn't be able to find a separation in an Eastern Orthodox theology. You would actually find a oneness. Kath sang out a little part there before about the three-chord strand. I want to teach you something quickly. Don't believe a three-chord strand is like a bit of rope that has a start and finish, and it's wound together by three. They would say that God has a finish and an end. You need to see it as a three-chord strand in each other. And there's no finish and there's no start. Because it says in Genesis 1, in the beginning was God. Oh no. So when was his beginning? And so when you see that, when you think about a three-chord strand, think about it as a unified circle that is so strong it cannot be taken apart. It has no start and it has no finish. Because God himself has no start and has no finish. Amen? Amen? Oh, yes, someone said praise God. It really encourages the preaching. That's good. And so I want to spend some time hanging out, but I really, for time's sake today, I really want to hang in verse 11. And I want to talk to you about some things. So we're in Psalm 65 here. You visit the earth and you cause it to overflow. You greatly enrich it. The stream of God is full of water. You prepare their grain. For this you prepare the earth. Oh, so good. You water its furrows abundantly. You settle its ridges. You soften it with showers. You bless its growth. And if I had time, which I don't, I would like to go through, and I'm going to come back to this, maybe just hang out here all life, in verse 9, but I want to hang out in verse 11 today. So it says this, it says, you have crowned the year. Whoa. Huh. The word crowned literally means to surround someone with a spinning compass. And so when we think about you are crowned, he's crowned the year, he's taken the time and he has surrounded it with himself and he's put it on the right dial of direction. And so every time, every day of your life, he has created he has created it so it's spinning in the right direction for him. So your life, literally, as you live and as you move and as you're being, he's actually making sure that everything is spinning in God's direction. Have you ever tried to do something that God told you to do and you're like, oh, and you deny doing it? No one in here, just me, right? And you have this sense throughout the day, you're like, oh, I should have done that, should have done that. God is so good that he can make things move so you can still have another opportunity. That's phenomenal. I think of this when I get to glory. Imagine the tapestry, I don't know how to say it, but like imagine seeing all the things that happened in the day where you went. God calls this person to wake up this time so he can intersect you at this point, you know, this and that, this and that. Whoa, like that's intricate. And so what he's saying here is that when I crown a year, I don't put a crown on it and say it's going to be good. He's saying I'm going to surround it with myself. And I'm going to spin it in the direction that it needs to go. Oh, that's too much. So the word year there is shirah, which means a measure of time or a division of time. But it also means this, and I love this. The word comes from the word shaha, which means to repeat and do again. It means to hide oneself in something. So every day of your life, you are being consistently hidden in the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. He wants you to know that you are hidden in him. And can I say something bold today? Even if you are exposed willfully or unwillfully to sin or iniquity, he still wants you to know how deep you are in him. He still wants you to know, no matter what trajectory you want to take, he still has all ability to spin you in the right direction. Oh. You have crowned the year with your bounty. Well, this is too much already. My Hebrew is really bad, so get ready for this.
Jen's really good at Hebrew. Yeah.
Amen. So the word is, and maybe Mark can help me here. So the word is Tuab Adonai Yehun. And this literally means this, is that as he is spinning you in the right direction, goodness, his own goodness, not yours by feat, victory, winning a war, being a good Christian for 3 days. Like, whatever you think of that, it says this. It says, as he's moving you in his direction, he's actually releasing goodness ahead of you and around you and behind you. So his bounty is actually the goodness of himself, making sure that your paths are being prepared by goodness. So everywhere you go, he's already, and the reason I'm using the word spin there in terms of compass is because I'm so excited about we get to another verse in a minute, because this is all going to come together, hopefully, praise God. And the word also comes from the word bounty, always from the root word as well, arrow, which means to be raised up. So as he's pushing you in the direction he wants you to be, and don't see it as a push that's you might do to someone you don't like, It's a push, a nudge. It's going in the right direction. But as he does that, goodness is flowing. And as the goodness is flowing, he's raising you up. So you might feel real lowly. You might feel I'm disconnected, I'm disjointed, I have no idea what's going on. And God's intention is that you will still be moving in the direction he wants you to go. The goodness of God is still flowing. And at the same time, he's also raising you up. Oh. And I don't know how long we got, but... Okay, and then he says this, and your paths, Lord, this is too much. The word paths is the word ma and then gal, and it comes from the word agal, and it means this. Literally, the Lord creates an entrenchment around everything that comes against you. But it goes far further than that. The word entrenchment there is a word called circumvallation. And circumvallation is this. There's a city over there that's coming against me, and so I want to besiege the city. And so a circumvallation is this. I make a circle around that city. I build a fort all around the city, and I cut off its communication, and I cut off its supply line. I dig a trench, a moat, and I fill it with water, and so whatever's in there is going to die. That's what God does for you against everything that comes against you. When he brings your path, when he talks about his path, that is his path. Look at this. You're caught in the circle dance. You're caught in the Spirit, the Son, and the Father in a completely enclosed circle that nothing can penetrate. He then moves you in the direction he wants you to go with his goodness flowing around you. He's raising up at the same time. And as an enemy, an accusation, whatever, a fiery dart, a thought, whatever comes against you, he makes a battle mount called an investment, a circumvallation around it, and he squeezes the life out of that thing so it can cause nothing to come against you. This is the Father who loves you. This is what he does for you. I want to say something to you today. Nowhere in there, nowhere in that circle dance, is there anything but rest, peace, and love. There's no shouting at the enemy. Because in that place, when we get into union, when we come into intimacy with Jesus, we don't have to focus on what's coming against us. All we get caught up in is who he is and where he's taking us. And we can actually trust that the Holy Spirit knows everything about our future. So wherever we're going to go, he's making a way where there was no way. He's literally squeezing the life out of things that come against us. I was pondering this about when you pray for things like cancer. It's a cell, it's circular. I was thinking about this. When you pray for these things, is there a key in here for us to have deliverance in that area for people where we haven't seen deliverance before? Where we start to understand a knowing in the Word, and we apply that to prayer for different circumstances. But the great thing about this word also, agal, means around and around and around and around and around. It's endless going around. And so we have this picture of a God who is going to make his paths drip with fatness. Your path drips with fatness. And I'll tie this together in a moment. So your path literally is this. You're getting caught. You're literally caught between the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, protected on every single side because there's no separation between the three. Goodness then is flowing around you all the time, regardless of your behavior, regardless of whether you feel good about yourself or not, regardless of whether you've said 7 prayers one day, 1 prayer the next day, no prayers the other day. Whatever it is, his goodness is flowing. In the same time, he's always causing things to raise you up. And then he's destroying things by fortifying himself around the things that come against you. If you go and study a circumvallation, you'll know that in the Roman culture, they would build fortified circumvallations around cities, and they would just wait there until all the supply was cut off. They would then go in and just rout the whole place. This is what God does for you. Psalm 18 says that the Lord himself blows his nostril, one of his nostrils, and the word is he routs every enemy. When I blow my nose, I think about that. I've been told that when I blow my nose, it's quite like loud. My daughter says when I breathe, it's loud.
It's like a shofar.
Thank you, Mark. A circumvallation is actually a defensive wall of a castle around the walled city. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit, they are putting a stream around you all the time. They're putting a path that no one can cross. And they're actually putting they're building a circle around you that nothing can penetrate. Oh, I thought it was good. Amen. And so we get to the word drip. Whoa, I love this stuff. So the word drip is the word rahaf, and it means to trickle down. Where do we hear the word trickle in the Bible?
Aaron's beard.
Aaron's beard, amen. And so when they poured the anointing on him, it would drip down, which means this. There was so much anointing on him in terms of physical anointing oil that it dripped off him. We know that when David was anointed at 14 years old, or to 16, wherever you believe, when he was anointed as king, that the prophet Samuel would have had a whole ram's horn filled with oil, and he would have tipped the whole thing on him. So when anywhere David went, he would have smelled like the king. A special blend of kingly anointing was on him. And then he waits 14 years, roughly, 16 years, before he inherits the promise of kingship. And he's not going down to the bath the next day, I'm going to wash this anointing off. It was like, oh, we're going to anoint you, we're going to make this trickle down on you. And God's presence is like that. The oil of his presence, when it comes upon you, it just fills every place. If you have a deficit in your life, here's a quick solution prayer. You feel like you've got a deficit in your life. Just get an understanding that you're caught up in the circle dance of God. But then ask his presence to come and to fill every place where you feel like insecure or you feel unsure. And he'll actually go and he'll do that. He'll honor you by honoring himself with his presence. And so the word fatness there is the word deshan, which comes from the word deshan, which means this. And this, I'm going to say this in church, all right? Everyone needs to get really fat. And I don't mean it's got nothing to do with physical obesity. It's got nothing to do with anything like that. I pray for people, I help for people like that as well. But deshan means this. It means to grow in such fatness in the anointing of God. The anointing of God. So everywhere you go, you realize, and I'm just going to go back to my picture, is that okay? So here we go. So the Father, the Son, and the Spirit are protecting you. The goodness of God is flowing as you're spinning in the right direction. You're being raised up. Everything that comes against you is being circled around and destroyed. And then you are leaking out, literally dripping out the presence of God everywhere you go. What was it when I taught this when I got saved? Go to church, be a good Christian, don't say too much. Not good. Not good. She's funny, isn't she? All right, can I take 5, is that okay? Is that alright to take 5 minutes? Thank you. I was going to anyway. So then we move here. The pastures of the wilderness drip, the same word for drip there. The word pasture there, or wilderness, is debar. It actually means to speak. It means to speak, and midbar means pasture. I see it like this, and can I say something prophetic? Okay, I just want to get my words right. Okay, so you're in the circle dance of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. The goodness of God is radiating around you. I don't know how it works. You're spinning in God's direction. He's raising you up. He's destroying the enemies. You're dripping with his presence. And then, I believe this, is that everywhere you go becomes a pasture for him.
Yes.
So it might have been a wasteland, or it might have been a forest. Whatever it is, I believe that he's creating you. He's made you in a way that's ensuring that everywhere you go becomes a pasture for him.
Yep.
Amen. Amen. And I say like this. Maybe he's waiting for a people. Who the greatest thing they can give to someone else is the ability to lie down in green pastures. Maybe you were called for such a time as this, to not have to worry about the status quo or the latest religious gizmo, but you were called to be one who's spinning in the goodness of God. He's raising you up as a son and daughter. So you can release land to be pastured for him, where other sons and other daughters will come and lie down. I don't know. The word rejoicing here. The hills gird themselves. Where do we hear the word gird?
Gird
loins. What else? Jesus girded himself. We know that... that in the armor of God. Can I just take a minute on the armor of God? Please don't think about it as Roman armor. who's been taught about it? It's like Roman armour. God's armour ain't Roman. God's armour is God's armour. When he puts around you truth, he's not putting some Roman truth around you. He's putting his literal truth. He's putting the breath of God around you. He's when he puts the shoes of the gospel of peace, those, he's not putting shoes that a Roman soldier. We've done that. We've tried to picture it as that. But let's think about it. It's God's armour, not a Roman's. Let's not limit our understanding of God's armour to what Romans wore. Let's raise our standard of understanding of what God actually says about those words. Amen. And it says this, gird themselves with rejoicing. Whoa. I just got to do something for a second. Oh yeah, cool. I think I'll get there. Rejoicing means this. The word is gil, which means, I'm going to run. It means to create a circle with sound. And it also is the age of understanding. So like, if I go back to this picture, I don't know why I'm on this, but I'm going to keep saying it. So the Father, the Son, and the Spirit are protecting you. Their goodness is moving around you. You're going in their direction where they want you to go. You're being raised up at the same time. He's everything that comes against you, he's squeezing and destroying because he doesn't want it to come against you. He's in the same place making you drip with his presence. You're then turning things into pasture fields where people can lay down maybe. And then at the same time, there's a swirling happening of song and sound that's creating things of understanding to come up. I don't know, I'm just meditating on the Word of God here. And then I want to end today. Can I say this as well? The word fatness there, dripping with fatness, it actually means this. It means to become fertile. That it releases fertility. So when you are dripping, when God is dripping with fatness, he's literally dripping with fertility. Oh. Dripping with fertility. What will it look like if a company people believe that God's presence was so unique and so powerful and so immeasurable that everywhere we went we started to leak fertility in things? I'm not talking about barren women, that's definitely one thing. But I'm talking about where things are dormant or dead, you start to release this fertility of the spirit realm that starts to make things grow that couldn't grow before. I don't know, I'm just pondering here today with you. And verse 13, it says this, the meadows are clothed with flocks, and the valleys are covered with grain. They shout for joy, yes, they sing. Stop here today, I think. Thanks for bearing with me for 5 more minutes. The word meadows is the word kara, and it means this. It means to whirl in a dance around a circle. It means to whirl. It means to dance in a whirling pattern that creates a circle. The Father is the Father and the Son and the Spirit are literally whirling and moving around you, creating a safety and a security for you. It's too much. I'm just going to hang out here for the rest of my life. The word clothed there means lavash. It comes from the understanding that we are clothed. We also know that we have been clothed with what? Amen. We are clothed. Everything we need is inside the ability to understand who we've been called to be. The word grain there is bara, which means to purge, to purify, to polish, to make shine. And then, I'll probably just hang here just to finish off today. The word shout there. The word shout there means, it's from the word ruah. So R-U-W-A in English. And it means this. To shout a war cry. To release a battle sound, to signal to war against anything coming against you. It's actually biblically, it's Hebraically the sound of triumph and shout. And it's done in full joy. So if I can say it like this, and I don't know. Father, the Son, and the Spirit are taking you in the right direction. You're being led up. The goodness of God is flowing. They're destroying every enemy around you. The presence of God is dripping from them, so it's dripping from you. They're making land in front of you. You're making land in them, pastoral land. They're dancing and swirling. And then they're shouting the war cry over you and over everything that comes against you. And that war cry is moving around. It's actually, I said this to Mark a couple of weeks ago, I had this word about resound, that the sound goes out and then comes back completed. What does this word say? My word goes out. And think about this. It goes out, it goes around, and comes back complete. He says, yeah, amen. None of his words go out and come back uncompleted. And he does this in complete joy. The Father finds it joyful. The Son finds it joyful. The Spirit finds it joyful to destroy everything that comes against you. He finds it joyful. He finds it joyful. Maybe this is what Peter and the apostles found when they wouldn't denounce Satan, but they would say the Lord avenge. Maybe they understood a principle of the kingdom that it's not mine to avenge, but the Lord's. And so if I keep my focus away from screaming at the devil, and I keep my focus on being in this swirl of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, I don't have to worry about things that are out of my control because I'm under the Spirit's control, which means that my Father and my King and the Spirit of God are going to do all things for me. And this may be the greatest lie to a son and daughter or to the body of Christ has been, you're not allowed in the circle dance because of your performance or behavior. Maybe you're not allowed in there. Maybe you've been told you can't go into God's presence like that. And the whole time he's been saying, my son and my daughter, I'm spinning goodness around you can't even see. I'm raising you up where you can't even be raised up. I'm making things that come against you destroyed because I'm encamping around them. I'm making fields that you go in front of, pasture lands where I'm going to burst forth growth. And I'm doing it all with a triumphant shout. I'm destroying every enemy because they come against you, they come against me, says the Father. The word sing there is from the word shiar or shura, and it means this. Oh, it means to travel along with a minstrel. It means as you're moving, there's a minstrel going. Now, the reason I ask you to open up the book of Joshua and to talk about Jericho is maybe, and I'm going to say a maybe, but I've been believing maybe this is the archetype that Joshua used. Maybe he understood these principles and so applied them, because it says they walked around the city in a circle for 6 days. Now remember, they weren't walking around the city in silence for 6 days. There was music going. A lot of people teach there was silence, and then there was the seventh day he made noise. They were making a minstrel around the city, around those fortified walls. And then on the seventh day, and seven means completion. So maybe, just maybe, as we journey together into the kingdom of God, maybe as we get on this warship together and we raise each other up, maybe as we become more mature in Christ, maybe as we see more and more gold in each other, we'll start to believe that we're not called to save people. We're not called to bring people to salvation only. Maybe we'll find out that we're called to bring people back into union with Him. Amen. Where nothing can separate us from the love of God. Maybe the Lord's been helping us understand that His goodness is flowing around us. He's always wanting to raise us up. He's always circumvallating around the things that come against us. He's literally squeezing the life out of those things so they become nothing. And then he's moving in this circle swirl around us with joy and thanksgiving because we are a son and daughter. So we're just going to stand. Thank you for giving me 10 minutes. Maybe just stand up. I'm just going to pray for us as we head into this today. I'm glad I got through one double-sided sheet of my word. That's good. Amen. I've got about 11 there. Father, I pray for each son and daughter here, I pray that they would know that they have never, ever been left alone. That in the deepest, darkest moment right now, past or future, that they are always, your intention is always that they would know and understand and live in the circle of the Son, the Father, and the Spirit. That they would know that you are always spinning them, whirling them in your direction for them. And maybe, Father, we just say today, I just give up going my own, I just say in my own life, I just give up going my own direction. Cause me to spin. Cause me to swirl. Cause me today, Lord, to come into complete synchronization with what you are wanting to do with my life. What you're wanting to do with these sons and daughters' lives and those who will hear this in the days and weeks and months and years ahead. We pray, Lord, as we are spun, that we would know that you are causing everything that comes against us to be destroyed. That our trust is not in weapons. Our trust is not in arms. Our trust is in the assurance that we are loved.
Yes.
We are loved. We thank you for going ahead of us. We thank you for coming behind us. We thank you for destroying with a triumphal shout. And we thank you, Father, there's a minstrel always singing around us, the Spirit of God moving around us. We just bless and release your sons and daughters today into the full assurance that they weren't made for salvation only, but they were made as beacons of light, lighthouses, that would cause sons and daughters who are lost to come home into the divine dance of God.
Yes.
Into the promises of God. And so, Lord, let this permeate down. Anything that is not of you, we ask it to fall. We ask, Lord, that you would shepherd us in this, teach us in this. And I'm just going to read those verses over us again. You make the going out of the morning and the evening to shout for joy. You visit the earth and you water it. You greatly enrich it. The river of God is full of water. You provide their grain, for you have prepared it. You water its furrows abundantly, settling its ridges, softening it with showers and blessing its growth. You crown the year with your bounty. In one translation it says this, your wagon tracks overflow with abundance. Oh. The pastures of the wilderness overflow. The hills gird themselves with joy. The meadows clothe themselves with flocks. The valleys deck themselves with grain. They shout and they sing together for joy. It goes on and says in Psalm 66, shout for joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Give him praises, glorious praises. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So we bless the sons and bless the daughters here, Lord. And we thank you for this time in the mighty name of Jesus.